So, friends, in the children's picture book, Where the Wild Things Are, how many of you know that book? I mean, everybody knows Where the Wild Things Are. Max makes mischief. He hammers nails into the bedroom wall. He chases his dog with a fork. And when his mother shouts, "You wild thing!" Max answers back, "I'll eat you up." And so Mom sends Max to bed without any supper. Now, alone in his room, Max dreams a magical world, and he sails over a year and in and out of weeks and through a day to where? He sails to where the wild things live. And when he gets there, they roar their terrible roars and they gnash their terrible teeth. But Max, he stares into the wild thing eyes, their yellow eyes, without blinking even once. He has an almost spiritual power over them, and he tames the wild things. So much so that they even make Max their king, at which point Max shouts, "Let the wild rumpus begin." And the rumpus is fun for a while. But soon Max is rumpused out, and so he sends all the wild things off to bed. And by himself now, in that magical land, Max is lonely. But then all around, from far away across the world, he smelled good things to eat. So he gave up being king of the wild things, and Max sailed back over a year and in and out of weeks into the night of his very own bedroom, where he awoke to find his supper waiting for him, and it was still hot. What brought Max back? Well, from all around but far away, he smelled good things to eat. The aroma of hot food, just a hint of what was actually sitting on his night table, the aroma of that hot food woke Max up to what really mattered. Not just the food, of course, but to his mother's love. In fact, if you're alert and if you pay attention, you will soon realize that all nature sings and round us ring these little hints about what really matters. Our life is full of these clues. And sometimes these clues are pleasant. If you step out of your cottage into the mist early on a Sunday morning and then you hear the loon sing, you probably would think, nature is holy. Other hints about what really matters are warning shots. For example, when your friend stops talking to you for days on end, and when your friend can't lift his head off the desk, and the darkness comes, and your friend is cutting himself, you think depression, and you worry about suicide, and so you talk to him, even if that means you have to chase him down into the deep, and you insist on getting help for him. Popular culture, things like movies and music and gaming, popular culture, like Max's meal, is also usually full of hints about what really matters, like the loon at the cottage, like your depressed friend, popular culture is full of hints about what really matters. Movies from all around, in particular, often have the aroma of spirituality about them. And they suggest that whatever you think, or even if you never think about spirituality at all, it is nevertheless very important. So in the 2006 Superman Returns movie, for example, Jor-El, that's Superman's father, Jor-El. But echoing the Bible, Jor-El says to that newborn baby who will become Superman, Jor-El says, even though you've been raised as a human being, you're not one of them. These humans, oh, they can be great people, Kal-El, that's Superman's real name. They only lack the light to show them the way. For this reason, above all, their capacity to do good, I have sent them you, my only son. Or as Isaiah says, for to us a child has been born, a son given to us, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. More recently in the 2013 Man of Steel movie, Jor-El again, Superman's dad, says, he, Superman, he will be like a god to them. Superman himself says that the S stands for hope. Very good. And that hope is the light that Isaiah says the people walking in darkness need if they are going to burn the boots of tramping warriors and put an end to war. Now, in all the Superman movies, of course, the Kryptonian names, Jor-El, Kal-El, include the Hebrew word El, which is the Hebrew word for God. Not surprising, of course, since the artists who first came up with Superman were Jewish. The Superman movies, like so many others, use hints of spirituality in part to give their stories at least the illusion of depth that they might not otherwise have as violent action movies. The illusion of depth by resonating with all this scriptural stuff. In doing so, these movies suggest that Hollywood knows what a lot of us forget. Hollywood knows that people are, in fact, whether they realize it or not, Hollywood knows that people are deeply spiritual and that we will reward movie makers with billions of dollars and adulation and sometimes even Oscars if these movie makers can only make their movie characters' spirituality resonate with the audience's spirituality. Hollywood movies are full of this spiritual stuff, even though Hollywood knows that many people sitting there watching the movies are not even aware of their spirituality. These movies, in a way, prey on these deeply felt spiritual longings that we all have, don't always recognize, and they resonate with them, even when we don't recognize those longings for what they are. The Crash Test Dummies song that Pancake Lunch sang kind of gets this play and pokes fun at our fascination with superheroes and with the idea that they really might be godlike. The song is about Superman. He's soup in the song, but the song is about Superman's funeral in church. We learn in the end, soup never made any money. He had the strength, but he would not rob a bank. And he was tempted just to quit and join Tarzan in the forest. And then the funeral, Superman's funeral, is attended by, you know, these Justice League superheroes. Wonder Woman is overweight in the movie, and she has a double chin, which is hard to imagine, but it's interesting. Flash comes to the funeral, but he shuffles slowly on his feet. He's old and not quite bent, but getting there. Everyone in the Justice League is way past their prime, not so heroic anymore. The sense is that none of these superheroes really had lasting answers, spiritual or otherwise, and in the end, the glory of these superheroes has all faded. Still, whatever we think of popular culture's fascination with a spirituality that many people don't even see in themselves anymore, Hollywood is on to something important with its aroma, with its insistence of hinting at this thing called spirituality. This is what Hollywood's on to. We are all, in fact, spiritual beings. We all, like Max, dream cosmic, wonderful dreams. We all ache for something deeper and more precious. Deeper and more precious than just good grades, a new phone, and pizza. In the end, we don't want to just hear a loon. We want to somehow be one with that loon and with all of nature. We don't want to chase someone in need to the deep. We want to be that person's redemption sound, a flame that stays, a friend who will carry you through. We dream of overcoming the darkness, of coming to the light, and, like Max with the wild things, or especially Max's mother with Max himself, we dream of being light, a flame that catches and gives its warmth and light to others. We are all deeply spiritual. And the question is, are you willing, do you dare plumb those depths down, down, down? Amen.